As we prepare ourselves to receive the Word of God today, something the Lord laid on my heart a few weeks ago, and we're going to kind of finish that up today, I think. And you never know, right? But anyway, we're going to be talking about deciding your destiny, and this is going to be part two, deciding your destiny. You know, God has a plan, you know, for each of our lives, but I think sometimes we kind of miss out, and we fail to really step into the fullness, I think, of what God really has, you know, for our life going on. And what I'd like to do today is kind of take that a little bit deeper. We looked at a little bit of it last week. And I think what to step into this today, I want us to kind of realize the fact that, you know, sometimes you and I, we can misunderstand a situation, you know, due to certain biases. Do you know we all have certain biases, right? I mean, we think we're unbiased, but we're not. We all have a certain bias, and sometimes those biases get in the way, and they cause us to really miss the point of really what's going on. You know, I like the old saying that Taco Bell had, we got to think outside the bun, right? You know, everybody was in the, you know, hamburgers and all that all the time, and Taco Bell came up with a very good marketing scheme there. And what I see is that we need a fresh set of eyes and an open heart, you know, when we step into these things so that we can, you know, see a different income or outcome come, you know, if we desire that, and we should. And that's where God comes in. You know, I believe that God gave us the Word of God to help us renew our mind so that we can live the God kind of life. See, God has a life for you and I. And it's different than the lives a lot of times that we live in this world. And, you know, we're still part of this world, but we're not of this world. You know, the Bible says. So we got to try to walk that fine line a little bit so we're not weird. You know what I mean? You know, the world sometimes thinks Christians can be really weird, you know, if we come off too spiritual. And then on the other hand, you don't want to go the other way so far that you're just walking a life of compromise, that you're just so much into the world that you misunderstand and you misrepresent really what the gospel is all about. So we're all living, I think, below our potential, and we need to turn our thinking around if we're ever going to get where God wants us to be. We're going to look at a couple passages in Ephesians today. The first one is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. And you have to remember, this is written to Christians, correct? It's to the Christians in Ephesians. So Paul was writing this, and we know that later on, you know, Timothy, he was the pastor of this church. The church at Ephesus saw a lot of amazing things happen. A matter of fact, the people were bringing their witchcraft books and all these things, and they were burning them, you know, getting rid of them. I mean, there was quite a revival, and a lot of good things were going on. Now, it says here in verse 17, it says, "So this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them and because of the hardness of their heart." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word, your life-changing word that comes into our heart, and it has the dunamis power of God that just breaks down those strongholds and all those things holding us back. Lord, we thank you so much for your revelation knowledge, Lord, to be imparted today. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the ultimate teacher. You're the one that brings truth to each and every one of our hearts. We thank you for challenges us each on the inside to want more, to desire more, to want to see more of you move in our life. Lord, I yield to the gift you put in me. I use it for your glory. And Lord, I pray for words that will pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And of course, the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the first point we're going to look at today is about our thinking skills a little bit. We're going to look at that a little bit because, as I mentioned, you know, last week a little bit, you know, we kind of get off base in our thinking because of the system that we live in. We live in the world system, and sometimes that tries to influence. So the first thing I want to look at is that sometimes I think we have either undeveloped or underdeveloped thinking skills. And, you know, when you're in school, we have to do a lot of thinking, but sometimes after that, we don't want to think no more, do we? Some people say, I don't want to think. Well, you have to. You know, we have to think. I mean, that's maybe why we're in the mess we're in, because there's a lot of people just ain't thinking anymore. But what happens is that we can easily just put our brain in neutral. You know, we get so busy with life, and, you know, maybe you get exhausted, and you're running here and you're running there, you're doing this and doing that, and the last thing you want to do, you know, is to have to deal with stuff, you know, because you're so busy all the time. And so you just put your brain in neutral. And when we do that, then whatever outside influence is out there can put information in our mind. You know, and we just kind of start to assimilate that, and I think that's sort of what gets us in a little bit off on a bad thing, because, you know, we've been either told to think something or shown what to think. And that's how the world does it. They keep bombarding us from all different directions. And unless we're studious, and unless we're disciplined, I mean, those are things we don't like to hear. Man, you know, a lot of people say, I hated school. I don't want to think no more. I don't want to read no more. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, we get into that mindset, and it's gonna really deter us from really getting where God wants us to go. Because God wants us to really go deep, and that's what I want to get us to today, is we need to go deep in God. Because there's more there. You know, I think we barely scratched the surface in a lot of ways. I found out in my life, and I've went through this. I remember when we were, you know, we started the church, and then we built this big building, and all the hours, and just different things, and how I just got exhausted. And so then it's so easy just to go home and then be able to just kind of listen, you know, to what the world's telling me through the TV or through the internet or whatever these things may be, and then I would just veg out. And then I would just allow that stuff just to come in because I didn't have anything left. I didn't have any way to resist. And, you know, that can happen in our life. You know, they say a picture paints a thousand words. A picture paints that, and that's kind of how sometimes we deal. Now remember in the book of Acts, you know, Peter was a dedicated Jew, right? He was, he's a fisherman. But, you know, he had been raised up and told all these different things. And he had a bias, like you and I do sometimes. And this bias was that unless you're Jew, you're not good enough for God. Yeah, that's right. That's how they thought. They were God's people. They were God's chosen. They were the ones. And that everybody else, no way. Well, then all of a sudden, you know, God decided to change that a little bit. So Peter was up and he says he went into a trance or probably had a vision or whatever. All of a sudden, God showed him through a picture that he was supposed to eat these unclean animals, which was taboo for a Jew. No way. Was never supposed to touch that, because if you did that, you'd become unclean. Okay? But God was showing him something new, and he did it through picture. He had to get his attention that way. And what it was, it said that what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. And that's when he was trying to get through to Peter, hey, it's time to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Because for a long time, they just kind of stayed in their own area, stayed in their lane, never went anywhere else and witnessed anybody else, because they just thought it was just for them. And so sometimes we can have those kind of biases when we get involved in these things, because sometimes it's very hard to change our minds when we get locked onto something sometime. So like I said, Peter had to have a vision to change his thinking. Now, different people think different ways. You know, some people deal good with pictures. They have a picture really does help them a lot. You know, sometimes people can just get it through analytical thinking, different things like that. We're going to look at this a little bit in a moment. But, you know, whatever it takes, God is wanting us to understand exactly what he wants to do. You have to understand that. A lot of people think God is trying to hide things from us. No, God wants us on his side. God wants to reveal things to us. We just need to open up to him and everything that he has for our life. Now, one of the things that sometimes hold us back is doubt, self-doubt. Have you ever doubted yourself? You know, I think a lot of times, you know, we struggle with that. You know, sometimes the hardest person to convince that we're a child of God is ourselves. You know, but we are children of God. You know, Jesus Christ came and he died and he rose again. And then when we put our faith in what he's done on the cross, we become in the family of God. Now, I had a pretty good family raising up. I mean, I'm proud of where I came from. But I'm extremely proud of the family I was born again into. You know, the family of God. Because that's where we need to see that we are. Because sometimes, if we don't get this turned around, that self-doubt and all these things holding us back, I mean, a lot of people think they can't do something for God. I mean, that's hard. I mean, I'm trying to remember, I've been saved, I'm not saying long, but I've been saved long. You know what I'm saying? I'm over 30-some years. So sometimes me, because I've been in this lifestyle for so long, sometimes I can easily forget, you know, what it was like when I was starting out. But I'll be honest, I still have some pictures in my mind that I still remember. I still remember the first day that I volunteered at church to teach little kids. I still remember. I still have that picture. I still remember going in and sitting at that office. And I was, you know, I didn't know very much. I'd just been saved just a little while. But somebody told me that you wasn't supposed to get involved in church. You know, they should have told me that. It would have saved me from getting involved all the time and doing all that extra work. But see, nobody told me that. As fate would have it, I got involved with these real radical people. I mean, Denise knows some of them. I mean, you know, they're just after it, you know what I mean? Hey, let's go do this. Okay, I guess that's what we're supposed to do. I didn't know any different. So hang around those kind of people. It's contagious. And I'll tell you what, it's the best life there is. When you get into serving God and doing things, God's going to start to reveal things to you and show things to you and stuff that you never would get just, you know, just hanging out in church, you know. But what we have to do is we need to turn that thinking around. You know, thinking it says, I'm not good enough. God can never use me. You know, I have a destiny, but it's not really as good as everybody else's. But here's what happens if we think wrong. We're going to act wrong, and if we act wrong, we'll continually think wrong. Something's got to change. Simple as that. Something's got to give in that situation. You know, we get involved, and then we get into this merry-go-round loop. You know what I'm saying? Just going in circles, doing the same thing, man. Sometimes you just got to let go. You just got to let go and fall off. You know, and start to change, you know, how we do things. Look what we're doing and try to do it different. You know, we have two options. You know, this sounds a little extreme, but I'm doing it for effect. No, there's deadly decisions and there's godly decisions. To me, a deadly decision is anything that pulls us away from the center of God's will. You know, where God, you know, really wants us to try to head down that road that way so that we can partake of everything. And it says here, you know, Paul was telling the Ephesian church, you know, they were Christians. He was writing to Christians. But he still told them that darkened understanding will cause you to process information incorrectly. And that's what happens. You know, just because we come out of darkness into the light doesn't mean there's still not some dark thoughts up there. Some things that are trying to cause us to look at things wrong. You know, and when we get into that thing, it's difficult, and we got to try to overcome those things. Because what happens when we think wrong, it says here, excludes us from the life of God. And see, the life of God is where it's at. You know, when I get to heaven, oh man, this is gonna be so good. It can be good now. It can be good now. You know, the relationship with God is so awesome. And the fact of, you know, it's just preparation. We're training for reigning. You know, God wants to bring us up into things of God. I don't understand what all that's about because I'm not there yet. But I'll go anytime He wants me. But until then, I want to make myself the best Christian that God can do. And I know it's by grace, all that. Yeah, we can argue that around. But I tell you what, you got to pay attention. You got to put some effort into it. You know what I'm saying? That's got to be done. So we get excluded. Now, here's what happens when we have that darkened thinking. You know, God had called the children of Israel out of Egypt. They went there, I think, about 400 years or so. And, you know, it was prophesied You know, it was told that they were going to do that, and just it happened just like that. And then when that 400 years roughly was up, God brought them out of Egypt. Okay? God parted the Red Sea. I've never seen the sea parted yet. Have you guys anywhere? I've never seen that yet. You know, maybe someday. I hope so. Be kind of fun. Parted the Red Sea. Destroyed the Egyptian army right behind him. Took him right over. It was kind of a short trip. Went right on the outside of the Promised Land. They sent in 12 spies. Check it out. This one, check it out. That's good. Well, the 12 spies all went in there. They all looked at the same thing. The exact same thing. 10 came back and only had remembered the giants. 2 came back and remembered the grapes. Which one do we want to be? Do we just want to see the giants, or do we want to see the promise? And see, that's what happened. And Ben's, there was the negative talkers. They was able to talk and sway the whole congregation to not going into the promised land. See, they forgot how big their God was. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but you know, if a guy can part the Red Sea, and he said, "Follow me, and we're going to go over here, and we're going to do this," I think I would have rolled the dice on that guy. You know what I'm saying? I think he probably could have followed through. But no, they had that old slave mentality in them. That old mentality, they couldn't break that merry-go-round that they were on. That they just felt inferior. They didn't feel that God had a destiny for them. And, you know, and we as New Testament Christians, you know, God says that we're supposed to go to the Old Testament to kind of look, and we kind of learn a few things. You know what I'm saying? We can kind of see, you know, what happened to them. I'll be honest, I'd rather learn from somebody else's mistakes than my own, if I could. You know, if I saw somebody hitting their thumb with a hammer, I don't feel I need to learn that on my own. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, hey, I take your word for it, man. Yeah, don't hit your thumb with a hammer. I know it happens, but I mean, I don't have to do that. See, what happens is we have to understand, we have to be open. I think we have to be pliable in the hands of God. Have you ever found out, now don't raise your hands because I think we all could, have you ever thought you were right about something and you knew that you knew that you knew that you were right and somebody else is wrong? And then you found out you were wrong? Have you lived long enough to have that happen to you? Think about it. That's humbling, isn't it? I mean, you were sure. You were sure that you were right. But we weren't. We were wrong. And you knew that you knew, but at the end it was untrue, right? And we have to get that. So sometimes we need to rethink our thinking and try to break that mold. And to be, like I say, think outside the bun and just, you know, just think about it. See, sometimes we need to change what we're putting in. You know, just because everybody else is doing this doesn't mean we have to. You know, because if we do what everybody else does, we're going to get what everybody else has. Right? Sometimes we've got to do something different. We've got to change. And that's the hardest thing for people to do, to want to change. Because it makes us vulnerable. Because we have to try something we've never tried. So if we change what we put in, you know, it's going to help us. Because if we put garbage in, garbage out, you've heard that, right? Just like a computer. Our mind's like a computer. Garbage in, garbage out. And then I believe if we put wisdom in, wisdom comes out. So sometimes we make the mistake, I think, of getting locked into a method. You know, and methods can change. But see, the message can still remain the same. But it's okay to change the method every now and then. Change how you're doing things. And that brings me to my next point I want to see. And we're going to look at the Greek word. And I've mispronounced this for years, and I probably maybe mispronounce it right now, maybe. But I used to call it Dianoa. But really, once I had my handy-dandy Logos Bible translation software that you can have if you download the app, you know, that's an advertisement right there. How you pronounce that, it said, is Dianoa. That's harder for me. I like Dianoa better, but I'll, just for the sake of argument, I'm going to go Dianoa. And what that's talking about is that word that we looked up there. Let me go back up to see that in the scripture. It's the word that we said, being darkened in their understanding. The word understanding in that scripture is talking about dianoia. And it's really talking about kind of critical thinking. And how important it is that you and I practice critical thinking from time to time. Maybe all the time. Sometimes we need to learn how to think again. Because it's so easy to get into the, you know, especially, you know, as you get older, a lot of the stuff you do is by habit, isn't it? You know, we don't even have to think about some of the things we do. But other things, when we come and, you know, that's why, you know, when I do some electrical work, I love going out on jobs and trying to fix problems. It forces me to think along different ways, different things that I have to try and figure out. I have to practice critical thinking skills. But, you know, what this is talking about is being able to look at something without a preconceived idea. And that means we have to check our bias at the door. And what it's talking about is that, you know, it's talking about kind of reflecting. And when you're looking at a question or looking at a situation or a problem, it's trying to see both sides of the situation. Kind of really thinking through something. On how important it is that we try to think through the process and the problem that we're looking at. And it's like that if we look at a scripture. I'll be honest, there's a lot of scriptures that you and I probably think we understand everything they say. But if we have to actually took the time, don't need to raise your hand. How many like to meditate on the word? You know what that means? Meditate means like the old cow chews the cud, you know. And you look at a scripture. You know, a lot of times we speed read the Bible. Oh man, I read 3 chapters today. Woo! Now that's good. That's all right. But I'll tell you what, this is my personal belief, and I think it's true because I think I'm right. But check me, see if I'm wrong. You'll do better meditating on a scripture too. Taking something in God's word and start to break it down in your mind and just think about that same scripture over and over, because there's more there than what we see is there. And we're not going to really get to that depth unless we unlock it and try to dig deeper in it. And then when we do that, it's going to really get formed down inside it. Remember, Paul said, I pray that Christ is formed in you. See, that happens through, I believe, the principles of being able to meditate and to go deeper in the things of God. Because what happens is that, you know, you and I, especially when it comes to scripture or anything in life, sometimes we spend more time trying to prove we're right and the other person's wrong than really listening to or really trying to survey that situation. I mean, I'm not wanting to open a can of worms here, but if you just think about marriage for a minute. I mean, a husband and wife can look at the same thing and they can come up with 2 almost opposite explanations of that same thing. And it can be frustrating, can't it? Just to be honest. Why can't she see it the way I see it? And I'm sure she says, why can't he see it the way I see it? You're not listening to me. You're not, yeah. I'm bearing my soul here, people. No. But, you know, those. It's just the fact that, you know, to be honest, early in our marriage, I've repented of this, I think. I really never considered her opinion like I should. Any men willing to admit that in public? Jack. One. But that's what we do. We get locked into thinking something's a certain way. And I'm not saying we don't have to stay strong and on the things that are true, but I mean, I think we need to be open so that we can learn more things. And I talked to Phil about this before service. I was in prayer when I was preparing this message and just praying and praying and praying. And all of a sudden, something came out of my mind or my head that I'd never heard of before. And God kept saying mind mapping. You know, I maybe have heard of it somewhere. Maybe it's been in there rattling around for a while. I just never had brought it out. But it kept coming out in my mind mapping. So then I Googled it. Praise God for Google. It just speeds up the process. But anyway, it is a real thing. And people mind map scriptures. And anyway, I'll let you look it up. That'll be part of your assignment. But a lot of people think in pictures. Remember I talked about Peter. Okay, when you mind map, just a brief explanation about it, is like you take your paper and you turn it horizontally, and right in the center you write your thought or your big idea. People use it for project management and all these different things, or if they're trying to fix a problem. So you write your thought in the center, and then off of that you draw little lines and different thoughts, and you try to put it all on one paper. See, I preach from an outline. I've been doing that for, I don't know, years. Just how sometimes I think, but I'm going to try this a little bit at home, where it's safe in my own home, my own office. But I'm going to try to mind map a few things. But it forces you to go deeper in some of the things you're thinking about. And I think it sounds interesting, but you know, you can take a scripture, you can dissect the scripture, and you start reading that over, and then all of a sudden you think of something, then you draw that line, and then you maybe think of something else about that scripture, and you draw a little line off of it, and then maybe think more about that first thought, and you add to it, and you keep doing that. Well, people, that's how we go deep. That's how we find our destiny, by when we start to think deep and we start to go deeper in the things of God. You know, I praise God for John 3:16, but there's a whole lot more in there. And I'll be honest, if we probably thought about John 3:16 a little bit longer than we do, you know, it's more than just a sign at a football stadium, you know what I'm saying? You know, God so loved the world. I mean, we could actually, if you're going to dissect that, God so loved. I mean, then you start thinking about the love of God, and you start to draw that out, and you start to think about, well, how does God love me? Or is there things in my life I don't think God loves me about? And you start to really explore those, and you start to reflect on those things. And before you know it, you're in a totally different area of your thinking, which will help you in your ultimate walk with God. So it's kind of like, you know, big picture thinking. You know, in big picture thinking, you think wide and you think deep, right? Think wide, you know, we think beyond tomorrow and look to next week, next month, next year. I'll be honest, I hate that. I mean, I've had these goal setting things where they try to get you to, what are you going to be doing in 5 years? I don't know, you know, and I don't even want to think about it, but I need to force myself to think about it, because if I don't think about it, I probably won't get there, you know, but if I have something to shoot at, you know, you can't hit what you can't see, right? So I'm going to have to rearrange my thinking. I don't know why I think that way, but I do. Then you've got to think deep. No, you know, don't settle just for the how, but think for the why. You know, just try to go deeper in God. And you know, okay, I understand how that scripture or what it's trying to say, but why is God wanting me to think that way? What is God wanting me to change? What does God want me to do with that? Am I supposed to, you know, go do this or that? And it's good, because here's what I think. God gave us a mind like a supercomputer, and we only use it to check Facebook. There's more up there. I know there is. But we just scratch the surface. We don't really go after more. Next passage I want to look at, we head to my sort of last point, is in Ephesians 1:18. Ephesians is a beautiful book. And this first chapter is so full of great expectations. You know what I mean? Paul's praying these things for that church, man. He wants it. And that's what God wants for us. So just read that first chapter. I'm just going to read one verse, verse 18. Here's he saying, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches and glory in his inheritance in the saints. I mean, there's a lot of good words right there. Enlightened. Well, when you're enlightened, that means you're not dark no more, right? You're not in that darkened thinking, that old thinking. Then he said, I pray that you will know what the hope of his calling, the calling that God has on our life. And then talks about an inheritance. You know, inheritances are nice. You know, I can, you know, God's inheritance is really good. So my last point I want to see is the idea that we were made for more. And I want us to think about that for a moment. You know, I think, you know, first I want to see that competence reveals capacity. I think I've talked about this last year a little bit, but I want to hit it again. But if we can increase our competence, we can increase our capacity. Meaning this, you know, so our capacity, let's say you could manage 3 people in life, okay, at a job. That's all you can handle. 4 people stresses you out. You know what I'm saying? Well, if you increase your competence, if you get better in your leadership skills, and you learn how to think larger and look longer down the road, well, you might be able to manage 5, 6, 7, 8 people. So it's like that. If you can increase your worth inside, in the sense, not worth, but your marketability or your talents and your giftings, if you learn more about what God has put in you, there's more that God can use through you. See? But if we don't know what God's put in us, we can't really understand how God's going to work through us. And we have to be able to find that out. So, if we're faithful, I mean, I'm using some scriptures here. If we're faithful with little, you'll be entrusted with more. You know, I think about when the ruler passed out the talents, you know, it was money is what it was. You know, he gave 1 5 and other 2, maybe other than 1. And the one who had 5 used what he had and he doubled it. Same with the other one. But the one who had 1, you know, they stayed darkened in their understanding. All they could see is the ruler as being a mean person. And so they didn't do anything with it. So they took what the boss had given them and didn't multiply it, and that got taken away from them, given to the other person, because he learned how to be faithful with little. See, if you're waiting until you have a lot before you do anything for God, you'll never do anything for God. Simple as it is. You got to start where you're at. You got to use what you have at your disposal right now. And if you're faithful with those little things, God's going to use you. God's going to multiply in your life. And you're going to start to see things. Now, maybe you don't have a desire to do more for God. I would do is pray God will give you that desire. There's a lot of lost people out in the world. There's a lot of people that need help that are so desperate, going through so many different things in their life. They need somebody like you that's been enlightened, somebody that has the understanding of who God is and why God came. They need a person like you in their life. They don't need those other people that are just dragging them down. They need somebody that's going to lift them up. And see, that's what a believer is supposed to be. Now, we need to flow with your kingdom gifts and natural talents. There's two things. You know, we are bivocational as a Christian. I want to explain that a little bit. Bivocational. Remember Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was an apostle. Started churches, did a lot of great things, miracles, everything. But he also was a tent maker. So he had a career, but he also had a calling. You have a career. You probably have some sort of job that you're doing. But you also have a calling. God has put inside of you certain giftings, okay? And I'm going to go through these real quick as I lack of time. But I'm going to read these real quick, and then we may go through this summer a little bit and break these down. I haven't probably preached on this for several years, I don't think. But first, you're going to have the gifts of the Father found in Romans 12, and you can look these up at your leisure. It talks about the gift of prophecy, serving, teaching, giving, leading, and mercy. Okay? Those are the gifts of the Father. Those are your sort of your spiritual personality traits that God's put inside of you. You tap into that when you're born again. Okay? When you're born again, those things, one of these gifts is going to be probably dominant in your life. You can flow into several. And I know some people, some people just have the gift of giving. And they'll just give. Some people have the gift of mercy, loving. You know, they're the kind of person you want to be around, especially if you're having a bad day. Then you got the gift of prophecy, like myself, which you probably don't like to hang around that often. You know, but I do have my moments where I shine, I guess. But prophecy is kind of one who kind of reveals the truth. And then you got servers. Everybody needs servers. So I'm not going to go into those right now. But, you know, each of you have that. You say, I don't have a gift. Yes, you do. The second you are born again, instantaneously, these come active in your life. They're in you right now. You need to find out which one of them is your dominant and maybe another, and you need to pursue that. You know, maybe you like to teach. You know, there's always room for teachers in the body of Christ. Now, we're going to look at that in a moment. You're not maybe a fivefold ministry teacher, but you're, you know, a teacher that just likes to share things. The next thing I want to see is the gifts of the Son, and that's found in Ephesians 4, and there's 5 of those. Now, these are the ones that God has called to, I guess, be leaders in the body of Christ, in the church. You have your apostle. You have your prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. So you have all these five gifts, and each of them have different traits. Now, you notice the word teacher was in this one as well as the last one, okay? Well, this here is somebody that's God has called and raised this person up. Could be a male or female. I have no problem in my own personal, you know, I'm not insecure about women being in ministry myself. If you are, I'll pray for you. You know, God uses women, and I thank God for it. But, you know, you might have a teacher. And, you know, a teacher with this, I came from Happy Church out in Denver, Colorado. Marilyn Hickey, she was a Bible teacher. She could teach like nobody I've ever heard teach, you know. But I taught in, you know, when I started out, I taught in Sunday school. Well, I was a teacher, but I wasn't that kind of teacher. You know what I mean? I didn't have that special fivefold anointing in the that God had raised me up at that time to do that. So, you know, you might teach Sunday school, but that doesn't mean you're one of these, is what I'm getting at. Then everybody can be an evangelist, but there's somebody that can really bring souls to the kingdom of God. Now, lastly, I want to just mention these gifts, and these are all at your disposal if you want to use them, is the gifts of the Spirit. They're found in 1 Corinthians 12, and some people call these the charismatic, the Pentecostal, or full gospel gifts. Now, I believe, you know, we tap into these gifts. The people that are going to be more apt to flow with these gifts are people that are more apt to believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit on the earth today. Okay? If they believe that the Holy Spirit is giving out these gifts, then you'd be more apt to receive them. And hopefully we're that kind of church. You know what I'm saying? I believe it's in the Bible, it's good, and it's for today. Okay? So these gifts are something that we can tap into. Number one, you got the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Those are kind of the revelation gifts to some degree. And wisdom doesn't, it just means that you can kind of see into the, put things together. Word of knowledge, a lot of healing evangelists back in the 50s and 60s, I think, operated in the gift of word of knowledge. What the word of knowledge, how God will give you a word about something, won't give you everything about them, just a quick explanation. Let's say if an evangelist was there and somebody was sick, he would start having word of knowledge. He would tell them things about themselves. We call it kind of reading their mail. You know what I mean? You could say, well, do you live at this address? And they would say yes, and he didn't know them. Or do you, you know, have you ever had this problem or that problem? So then they would share those things, and then it would increase people's faith so that when he laid hands on them, they could be healed. Okay? So these gifts are necessary. Now, in a body like a church like ours, I would like to think, is that each of these gifts would be available in this church. Now, you may flow in some of these gifts, but not the others. But if we're all willing to use our gifts, the body becomes whole, okay? If everybody does their part, that means we're going to have to step out in faith and maybe do some of these things. Then you got discerning of spirits, prophecy, and various tongues and interpretations of tongues. I think I said discerning spirits. Discerning spirits is to be able to see maybe somebody's, you can see angels and demonic spirits both. And I've had this happen a time or two. You can see things like that. I don't flow in that one as much. You have various kinds of tongues, interpretation, you know, as well as prophecy. Sometimes we'll have a word here at church. Somebody will give a prophecy. There has been times of tongues and interpretation, you know, but if we're not open to it, we won't see it, so we need to be open to it. And what does that do? It helps us. It helps our body. When somebody speaks a prophecy, it's, you know, this kind of prophecy here is kind of encouraging. It helps people, and it makes people feel you know, when somebody shares something like that, it can be very uplifting. And I don't know about you, but we all need uplifted. You know, are you to the point in your walk that you don't need build up? I mean, God bless you if you are. I'm not. I'm not there yet. I like to see these things in operation. Then you got the gift of faith, the gift of healing, effective miracles. These are these really get people's attention when these things come into manifestation. And, you know, we'll break these down again at a later date. We're going to go into them a little better. I just want to throw these out just to think about it. These are part of your destiny. Now, you have your natural talents. Some of you are very good at different things. Some of you at work are very, very important. So you have those, you know, you'd like to think God gave you those abilities, but then I believe God can develop those abilities in you better as you want to use them for your glory. Like, I want to give an example. There's some people that can be good at singing, okay? Have you ever heard anybody that's got a good voice? Besides me? No. You know, they can sing. Now, they can develop that. They can go to lessons. But have you ever, but they're not, they can't lead worship. Are you hearing me? I'm not disrespecting them, but I'm just saying they don't have that anointing on them to lead worship. You can listen to them sing, and it's a blessing. And they can develop that gift, and that's all good. But there's certain people, and they don't even have to have the best voice. I mean, like Jason, for example. I mean, when he leads worship, I mean, I'm just saying something. You just feel the presence of God. Amen? How does that work? I don't know. God does it. But, you know, I remember in Bible school, you know, I can't sing a lick. But I'll tell you what, every time I would lead worship, and as I look back, it just looks crazier and crazier as I look at it. But we would see the gifts of the Spirit come into manifestation. I do have the ability to lead worship. It's just the fact I can't clap or sing. That's the only thing holding me back. But I have an anointing on me. You know what I'm saying? And that anointing comes out in different ways because I don't know how that works. But I have chosen for the sake of the church to not lead worship. And I'll be honest, I prefer not because even though I do have a little bit of an anointing, I want to get to dancing, but I've been working on that. But I almost broke loose today on that one song. Did you almost see me do that? Yeah, no, just kidding. I did at home the other day and about wore me out, so I'm not ready yet. But there are, you know, so there are things that God has called us to do, and there's things that God has called us to be, and we need to figure out the difference. Okay. Now, in closing, if we're ever going to get more, we need to start expecting more. And that's what I want us to be at today. I want you to leave with that thought. To start expecting more. Start to think deeper. Start to really go into the things of God. You know, a lot of people take the summer off. You know what I'm saying? You know, head into the summer slump. But one thing I like about, I think Marilyn always used to say, don't have the summer slump, have the summer jump. Amen? Let's just take this time, you know, really go deep with God and really seek, what is God, God, what do you want me to do? How can I be more involved in the things of God? You know, we need to go deeper, and I believe God can lead us that way. If all he's looking for is a willing heart, you know. I know I'm trying to close here, but things keep coming to my mind. That's my last thing, I promise, sort of. But, you know, you think about David. You know, God always said David was a man after his own heart. I mean, the guy, he was an adulterer and he was a murderer. You know? But God knew his heart. I mean, I don't know how that all works out, but I'll tell you what, there's hope for us. Amen? You know, all we have to do is go after God with all our might. Amen? Let's close. Hallelujah. Let's pray.